إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونسترشده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا وداعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام يقول ربنا جل وعلا في كتابه المبين ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه إحسانًا حملته أمه كرها ووضعته كرها وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة قال رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين أولئك الذين نتقبل عنهم أحسن ما عملوا ونتجاوز عن سيئاتهم في أصحاب الجنة وعد الصدق الذي كانوا يوعدون. Indeed, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the creator, sustainer, and regulator of the universe and all within. Thus we praise Him and we ought to praise Him and thank Him for His infinite grace, favors, and blessings. We believe in Him also and put our trust in Him. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil inclinations of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Know that whoever chooses guidance, there is none to misguide him. And whoever chooses misguidance, there is none to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and has no partner. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and messenger of Allah, whom Allah sent with the religion of truth and with guidance, as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner, and one who invited to the way of Allah, and a shining lamp. Dear brothers and sisters, it is no secret that families are facing a lot of pressures, a lot of challenges, a lot of problems from without and also from within. We don't have time to look at all these issues. So I hope that in the time we have today, I can share with you some thoughts and ideas regarding perhaps just one factor, one significant factor that contributes to the level, the high level of unrest in challenges, in fights and quarrels that are undermining families. Now, some people may ask, brothers and sisters, you know, I have my job, I have my career, or my education, I have my friends, who needs a family? Well, as Muslims, brothers and sisters, our families are important. And they have to be important because our families, brothers and sisters, with our families lies our Jannah or our Hellfire. Let me say that again. With our families lies our Paradise or our Hellfire. And this is highlighted in a number of ahadith. I will share with you 3 ahadith from Sahih al-Bukhari, We don't have time to look at any other hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari or any other book. These are from Sahih al-Bukhari. Highlighting the fact that our Jannah lies within our relationship with our families. And when we talk about families, by the way, it is not only limited to the relationship of children and parents or parents and children. It is not only limited to the relationship between the spouses, the husband and the wife. But it also includes the relationship we have with our siblings and our extended families. Of course, we can spend many hours talking about the relationship with parents and hours talking about relationship with spouses and so on. But today, I want to shed some light on family in general and the importance of family. And as I mentioned, the one factor that is a significant factor that contributes to a lot of the issues that we face. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as Imam Bukhari tells us in his Sahih, once a man came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, akhbirni bi'amalin yudkhiluni al-jannah. He said, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of a deed, an action that will cause me to be admitted to paradise. And the Prophet alayhi salam said to him, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And you should establish prayers. And you notice he did not just say pray, he said establish prayers. Because when you establish something, brothers and sisters, it becomes a fixed feature in your life, a prominent feature in your life. It is not easily blown away by the wind. It is firmly fixed. And so the Prophet ﷺ encouraged the man that salah should become firmly fixed in his life. وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ. You should also pay the zakah. وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. And you should also keep good connections and good relations with your relatives. He mentioned four things in the hadith. And there are other ahadith about other things. But one of the four is to keep good ties with your family, with your relatives. And remember the question. Inform me of something, an action that will cause me to be admitted into paradise. This is where our Jannah lies, brothers and sisters. In another hadith that Imam Bukhari relates in his Sahih, and these ahadith are from Kitab al-Adab, the Book of Manners in Sahih al-Bukhari, and I would strongly encourage my brothers and sisters, when you get some time, sooner rather than later, take this chapter or this book of Sahih al-Bukhari, the book of manners, and read some of the ahadith there. In this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam tells us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaq al-khalq, when He created creations, and He was finished creating creations, the womb, the rahim, the Arabic word for womb is rahim. The Rahim said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هَذَا مَقَامُ الْآئِذِ بِكَ مِنَ الْقَطِيعَ. The womb said to Allah, this is the pleading of the one who seeks refuge with you from those who will sever ties with me. And Allah the Exalted will say or has said, Na'am. Sure. And then Allah said to the womb, Ala tardayna an asila man wasalaki wa aqta'a man qata'ak. Aren't you pleased that I will keep ties and keep relationship with the one who keeps ties with you, and I will sever ties in relationship with the one who severs ties with you. And the womb said, Bala, sure, O Lord, I am happy with this. And Allah the Exalted said to the womb, Hiya laka, it is for you. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, brothers and sisters, this is no trivial matter. This is no frivolous thing. This is no outdated idea. No ancient saying. It is the authentic saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, highlighting for us that our Jannah lies with our families and the kind of relationship we have with them. In yet another hadith, brothers and sisters, and that's why I encourage you to read Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari. There are too many to narrate in the khutbah. But in this third hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam قال لا يدخل الجنة قاطع. The one who severs ties with his relatives will not enter paradise. The one who severs ties with his family, his relatives, and Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, in discussing this concept of relations or relatives, he said it's not only the maharim, the people who are mahram for you, the close relatives. He said it is anyone who's related to you, even if they're far off. Once you have blood ties with the person or the people, those are your relatives. So the one who severs ties with the relatives does not keep good relations. And what might keeping good relations with relatives entail? Al-Imam al-Nawawi talked about this. He said that this good relationship, this keeping of family ties that Allah talks about and the Prophet alayhi salam talks about in the sunnah, it is an tuhsina ila aqribaik, that you should be kind with your relatives. Dhawi rahimik, those who are related to you through blood. بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ عَلَى حَسَبِ حَالِكْ وَحَالِهِمْ, with what is within your capacity, depending on your situation and their situation. And then he gave some examples, مِنْ infaq, in terms of maybe helping them financially, buying gifts for them on special occasions of Eid, أَوْ salam, or to greet them, to meet them, talk with them, أَوْ ziyara, or visiting them, or they visit you, أو طاعة, or any other act of obedience, anything that's good or kind for them, أو غير ذلك, or other than that. This is what it means. The thing is, brothers and sisters, in our families these days, there are a lot of problems and a lot of issues. In everyone believes that what he or she is doing is the right thing. So we all blame the other person. The problem is we have been blaming each other for ages. And it has not solved anything. It has not solved anything. The parents blame the children. They don't listen. They're disobedient. They're rebellious. They're too caught up with their devices or their friends. And the children blame the parents. They don't understand what we're going through. They don't know what we're going through. The husband blames the wife. You don't listen. You don't obey. You listen. You're listening to your family. You're listening to your friends. Don't talk to your family anymore. Don't have any friends. And the wife blames the husband. You spend too much time with your friends. You're always playing sports. You're going outside. You're always at work. You're never home or hardly home. We blame each other. And for ages, societies have been doing this. And it has not solved the problem. And it will not solve the problem until, brothers and sisters, we take a different approach. And that approach, I say to you and myself today, is that we need to look at ourselves first. We need to point the finger to ourselves first before we point it at anyone else. We should stop blaming the other and asking ourselves, well, maybe I have contributed to this. So let me honestly take a look at what I have contributed, where I have made mistakes. We all make mistakes, no doubt about that. But it is vital that we ask ourselves what mistakes we might have made or we have made. And we acknowledge those mistakes because that's the only way we can bring about change. That's the only way we can right the wrong, is to realize, first of all, that a wrong was done. So we have to look at ourselves. We have to evaluate ourselves. We all believe, brothers and sisters, that whatever we're doing is the right way. It's the correct way. You know, the wife or the husband who works overtime or works, spend many hours at work or goes this place or that place or buys this and buys that. And yes, people do that. All right, recently I had a case where the wife racked up some credit card bills because she said, well, you don't spend on me, so I'm going to buy stuff. I'm going to show you. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, whatever we think it's the right thing that we're doing within our families, whether it's in our relationship with our spouses, our children, our parents, our siblings, or extended family, the crucial issue we need to really think about is this really correct? Is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered? Because when we face Allah, the Creator, on the Day of Judgment, and face Him, we must. The accountability is something that every single human being must go through, including the prophets of Allah, alayhim salawatullahi wa salam. Even the messengers of Allah have to go through this. On that day, brothers and sisters, Allah the Exalted will not accept from us, oh, I didn't realize this was wrong. I thought this was right, oh Lord. You know what? I honestly believed I was doing the right thing. That will not be accepted, brothers and sisters. And then we shall regret that we wasted this life in that we did not take the time to ensure that what we're doing in terms of how we relate with the family, that it was the right thing, that it was what Allah has commanded and had ordered. And not just what I think and what I assume and what I believe is how it should be. Brothers and sisters, if we're all doing the right thing, how come we have problems? That doesn't make any sense. If both the husband and wife are doing what Allah has commanded, it is not possible to have any conflict. So obviously the fact that there are conflicts, disagreements, this is a clear indication that there are areas in which we're not truly doing the right thing. We may think we're doing the right thing. We may want to believe we're doing the right thing. We may even fool ourselves into thinking that we're doing the right thing. So we hold on to our position and we refuse to compromise. So either we force the other person, beat them into submission and conformity, or the relationship will end. Or the kids will rebel and walk away. They will leave home. Or the parents may turn their back on their kids. So let us, brothers and sisters, it is time we wake up. And it is time we point a finger at ourselves. And it is time we take the effort and the time to honestly check in with our hearts and ask ourselves, Is this what Allah ordered me to do? Is this how He ordered me to interact with and behave with my family? This is the question we all need to answer. And we need to answer honestly and sincerely. Because we can even deceive our own selves. But we cannot deceive Allah the Creator. Allah the Exalted tells us, brothers and sisters, in Surah Luqman, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ O people, O mankind, be conscious of your Lord. وَاخْشَوْ يَوْمًا لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا And fear the day, be aware of the day, when a parent will not be able to help their children or their child in any way. Nor will the child be able to help or assist the parents in any way. Inna wa'dallahi haqq. Surely the promise of Allah, that is the reality. That is the truth. It's not what we fool ourselves into believing is the truth. No. It is what Allah has decreed. It is what Allah has decided. So this is why He will not accept from us this excuse of, well, I didn't really know. I thought I was doing the right thing, O Lord. Brothers and sisters, guidance is not something we take for granted. We don't assume we're following guidance. We have the obligation to make sure we're following the guidance. So each one of us know how we behave with our families. Do we spend time with them? Are we home with them? Do we go out with them? Do we go out alone? Are we on our devices even when we're home, even at nighttime? Do we as parents listen to our children, hear what they're saying, empathize with the challenges that they're facing, understanding that the times that they are faced with today, it's different from the times that we grew up in. We need to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters. In children, our young people also need to do the same. The time they spent with their parents, how they talk with their parents, their body language with their parents. Do they help out? Are they respectful? Do they serve the parents or the parents have to serve them? We all, brothers and sisters, husband and wife, parents and children, siblings, extended family, we all need to sit down, each one of us, and think about this, check in with our hearts. The way we deal with our families, is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, yes or no? I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless all of us, that He would open our hearts and our minds, so that not only can we understand the message, but that we would be motivated to and inspired to live by the message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us all good manners, good adab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to husnil khuluq, to good behavior and good manners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to achieve fulfilling and rewarding relationships with our spouses, with our children, with our parents, with our siblings, with our extended family, and with the people around us in our communities and societies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us the truth as the truth and help us to follow that. And may He show us the wrong as the wrong and help us to avoid that. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. Brothers and sisters, we know very well how the Prophet alayhi salam used to interact with his family. He was the messenger of Allah, and yet at home you wouldn't know it. He was the simplest, humblest of human beings. And even when he had to change what was wrong in his own home, when he saw something that was not right, he did not go ballistic, as we say. He was gentle. His words were kind words. He did not insult anybody, let alone his family in particular. He did not belittle them. I share with you one hadith before we close. Once the Prophet ﷺ came home, and he saw that Aisha had some rings on her fingers. Aisha radiallahu anha, his beloved wife. And he said to her, Ya Aisha, ma hadhihi? What are these? And she said to him, these are some rings that I have made. Atazayyanu biha lak. These are some rings that I've made that I intend to use to beautify myself for you. And the Prophet alayhi salam, you know, was not swayed by the romantic moment. Oh, how sweet. Although, you know, we should do this, spouses should do this for each other. But he gently reminded her about a more important issue. He said, Ya Aisha, oh Aisha, calling her by her name. And you know, our name, brothers and sisters, the name that a person is given by their parents is the most honorable way you can address that individual, calling them by their name. He said, Ya Aisha. He didn't even say, oh woman, or you know, idiot, or moron, or whatever we say. He said, oh Aisha, have you paid the zakat on this? Subhanallah. He didn't go crazy or ballistic. What's wrong with you? Don't you know you have to pay zakat? Have you paid the zakat? We don't need this in the house. Have you paid the zakat? Pay attention to that. This is how he behaved, brothers and sisters. How Allah ordered him to behave with his family. And his mission was to, bayanul haq, was to explain or clarify for people, including his family, the truth. Let us also send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, for Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran when he said, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu salluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana al-muslimina al-mustadafina wal-mazlumina fi kulli makan. Oh Allah, we ask you to help and assist and come to the aid of our brothers and sisters who are weak and oppressed in all parts of the world. Allahumma afriq alayhim sabran wa thabbit aqdamahum. We ask you, O Lord, to imbue them with patience and keep their feet firm. Wansurhum ala qawmi al-zalimeen, and to support them and help them against those who do wrong. Wansurhum ala al-qawmi al-mujrimeen, and help them against those who do evil. Allahumma rabbana la tada' lana fi hadha al-yawm al-mubarak dhanban illa ghafartah. We ask you, O Lord, on this blessed day, to leave none of us with any sin except that you forgive that person. وَلَا دَيْنًا إِلَّا قَضَيْتَ. And leave no one, O Lord, with any loans except that you make it easy for them to repay it. وَلَا مَرِيضًا إِلَّا شَفَيْتَ. Leave no one who is ill except that you send down your healing and your cure upon them. وَلَا مَيِّتًا إِلَّا رَحِمْتَ. Leave no one who has passed away except that you shower them with your forgiveness and your mercy. وَلَا وَلَدًا إِلَّا أَصْلَحْتَ. Leave no child or young person, O Lord, except that you reform him or her. وَلَا مُسَافِرًا إِلَّا رَدَتَّ. And leave no one who is traveling except that you return them home safe and sound to their families. وَلَا مَظْلُومًا إِلَّا نَصَرْتَ. And leave no one who is oppressed except that you come to their aid and their assistance. وَلَا عَسِيرًا إِلَّا يَسَّرْتَ. Leave no one who is experiencing difficult circumstances and calamities except that you alleviate their suffering and you ease for them their pain and their suffering. وَلَا حَاجَةٍ مِّنْ حَوَائِجِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ هِيَ لَكَ رِضًا وَلَنَا فِيهَا صَلَاحٍ إِلَّا يَسَرْتَهَا يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ.